Hello, everybody. Doc Wife here, host of the Conservative Underground. Proud to be humble, common man, common sense, taking on all the issues of the day, an unapologetic, true conservative approach. Proud Reagan conservative charter member of the Great Silent Majority and founder of the Bitter Clinger Wing of the Republican Party. Sit back and relax. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Conservative Underground. Rundown of topics today on this broadcast, the big story, the infighting in the Republican Party, the fight for its future. They're talking about that Washington's broke. Well, we all know that. But is the GOP responsible for Washington being broken? It seems like every time this topic comes up, the Republicans end up being blamed for the sabotaging of government. We'll talk about that, the future of the party, and much more. Welcome to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Sit back, relax, I'll do all of the work. So I'm on Twitter the other night and came across this entertaining Twitter handle, at TFLN, embarrassing texts from last night. You know, these are the texts that each person sends to a friend or something or other like that that might be a little bit embarrassing. Maybe you've had too much to drink, or maybe the auto text. The autocorrect on your text screwed something up. At TFLN on Twitter, text from last night, and they give the area code as well. And I apologize, my new member of the staff here, Elaine Fairchild, our director of research, didn't prep me properly for where these zip code or area codes are. The 573 area code, for example, text from last night, and some of these are pretty funny, you know? That's probably not the best way to introduce a new member of our staff. As most of you know, our chief of staff and technical support is Brett Myers. Thank you for your support of him. We have joining me here our deputy chief of staff, Mitch Wainwright, show standards and host support. And, of course, our newest member of the broadcast team here at the Conservative Underground here at Studio A at Broadcast Park is Elaine Fairchild, Director of Research. First out to shoot, and she lets me down here, but these texts from last night, I think your dad took our porno from area code 573. I don't know where 573, maybe I'll look it up here during one of the breaks. Or, you know, and the funny thing is about that text, I thought it said, I think our dad took our porno. Right. In any event, okay, folks, a lot to talk about today, some very important topics. we get to our main topic that we'll be discussing. Washington is broke, obviously, because of the Republican Party. It has nothing to do with the current president of the United States. It has nothing to do with his policies, nothing to do with anything. And moving into the war within the GOP, there is a war, there is a battle right now within the Republican Party. And I'm going to talk about that and go over some controversial tweets that I've sent out that's jarred some discussion. But tweets from last night, from the 209, doing the walk of shame, and I stumbled across doing the walk of shame at 1 a.m. You all know what the walk of shame is. Stumbled across a rave this night is going to be epic.
Red State Talk Radio.
I would like to say this, though, in deference to the Christian foundation of this nation, it is that foundation that allows us freedom. I don't see this diversity in other places.
Get the show started here officially. Other texts from last night from the 778 area code. I'm happy in my shell. My shell, which consists of keeping guys in the friend zone and me masturbating. Did anyone review these? My deputy chief of staff for show standards, Mitch Wainwright. Did anyone review this stuff? From the 248, look outside and see if the septic tank explodes when I flush this. Embarrassing texts. Drunken text, autocorrect mistake, foul-up text, and much more. I thought this was kind of funny. Twitter's an amazing thing. So, ladies and gentlemen, the political debate in this country has... The rhetoric is unbelievable. You know, you used to be able to judge... make up your mind on a particular topic or issue based on the rhetoric that was coming from our politicians, because it was usually constructive. I'm reading a recent issue of Time Magazine by one of the article commentator in the commentary section, and it has to do with Barack Obama's legacy. His big legacy is going to be his commitment to renewable energy, if you can believe that, and this global climate change war that's being fought. And the interesting part of the article is, this is obviously someone of the liberal bent, and even they admit that we are spending too much time listening to Barack Obama. Part of the problem in the debate is not just on climate control and the Keystone XL pipeline and renewable energy, but everything is, we're just listening to Barack Obama too much. And I did get a chuckle out of that, because isn't that what leaders are supposed to do? They're supposed to rally us to a cause. And here's a guy in Time Magazine. I have the magazine here. I'll try to... let me get his name here if I can get this quickly. Michael Grunewald from the July 22nd Time Magazine. That's really lowering the bar for our elected leaders, if you ask me. It's to the point now where we shouldn't even pay attention to what they say. That somehow creates a problem. Well, I don't think it creates a problem. Leaders use their power of persuasion, their vision through their speeches to motivate and rally the American people to their side. And the problem, though, is with Barack Obama, is he talks a lot and says very little. Even what he's supposedly gifted at is a deterrent to getting things done, because that's all he knows how to do is campaign, agitate. So that's kind of where we've devolved, I think, as a society, is we don't have a leader present, certainly not in the White House, and there isn't really one emerging yet.
within the loyal opposition, the Republican Party, that can capture Americans and motivate them and inspire them and inspire a movement based on principle and not just winning elections to turn this country around and get government back within the means, within its means and within the consent of the governed. And throughout all of this, we hear even more rhetoric that the GOP is responsible for Washington being broken, as if the Democrat Party hasn't been in power since 2007, as if Barack Obama hasn't been president for the past 5 years. I mean, since 2007, we've had basically a nominal presidency in decline under George Bush, and for the last 4 years, a haphazard Republican majority in the House of Representatives. That's best claim is we haven't allowed Obama to exercise full, unfettered control of the federal government. They haven't really done anything. It really has been since 2007, 8 years, this country has been driven primarily by the agenda of the Democrat Party. And what's the show for it? Washington's more broke now than ever. But if you listen to the talking heads in the media, and if you listen to the president himself, who never takes responsibility for everything, the GOP continues to take the heat for sabotaging the government. Well, and the media just prints it. The media just laps it up. And the Republicans are so scared. The leaders of the Republican Party are so scared over this. They're scared over being perceived as racist in immigration. They're scared over being perceived as homophobic on gay marriage. And they're scared for being seen as obstructionists when they stand up against the Obama entitlement state programs. But yet we hear nothing from the media. And we hear very little from the Republican leadership that's speaking for us and carrying the conservative cause and our principles as a party. We hear nothing when President Obama unilaterally suspend parts of his health care law. You know, they've had this health care law out there now for 3 years, and they haven't been able to piece it together and make it work. And the president just unilaterally goes out there and suspends major components of it in spite of what the law says should be done. That's not sabotaging government. We don't hear anything from the media or the talking heads questioning the president directly when he unilaterally stopped enforcing current immigration laws for almost 2 million illegal immigrants, young illegal immigrants in this country. Just stopped enforcing immigration laws and thereby doing through executive order what failed in Congress. So much for Article 2. The Republicans are constantly blamed for sabotaging government and nothing getting done, but it's this president right now that thumbs his nose at the law, chooses to enforce only what he agrees with, not to mention all of these scandals that are going around that are paralyzing government right now, not to mention, yes, his rhetoric, even though we're not, according to Michael Grunwald, we're not even supposed to listen to the president anymore because that detracts from his legacy. But it's the Republicans that sabotage government. And the Republican leaders are running around scared. Well, I guess we're being perceived as obstructionists. Well, I think it's good to be obstructionist at this point. It's good, in my estimation, for the Republican Party, and we need some people with some testicular fortitude, to begin to take hold of the leadership reins within the party, because, as I see it, the current crop are doubling down on their own power and their own standing within the establishment class, within the bureaucratic elite inside the Washington Beltway. I'm talking about the Speaker of the House, John Boehner. I'm talking about people like John McCain. I'm talking about those Republican rhinos in name only, that you constantly see, the media darlings, and you know exactly who I'm talking about. And we're going to get into that war within the party, struggle for control, much like we had in the 1970s. We'll get into that in a minute. But it is good, in my opinion, to be opposed to the Obama entitlement state agenda. And that should be a point of pride that we as a movement and as a party point to. And let me just add, there are a lot of people in the media or the social media world of the conservative movement online that are the base of this party, and they are fed up. And I'm going to get to some other important points on that issue as well. This whole idea that the Republicans need to only focus on the independents. Well, that's about 20% of the electorate. And they're winning them. But they're losing their base, and that's why they're losing elections. But we're not supposed to, you know, the power brokers and the consultant wing of the party don't see it that way. But yet they continue to lose. Anyhow, we need an agenda, and we need talking points, and we need leaders that are going to stand up and say, we are opposed to President Obama. If you want to call us a party, you know, so be it. If you want to say we're sabotaging government, well, then consider this. Consider it's this president who's suspending unilaterally his health care law because it's not ready. He doesn't want to open up any sliver of debate on it to fix it, to make it work or repeal it and start over again. I mean, when something's broke, you fix it. Only in Washington is a law broken, you continue to implement it. But if there's not a problem, you offer up some fake solution. It's incredible. Everything in Washington, D.C. is topsy-turvy and backwards. But it is good to be opposed to the agenda being talked about in Washington, D.C. on this immigration, a.k.a. amnesty bill. That's going to add trillions, over a trillion, to our debt. It is going to put a drain on our social services that are already bankrupt, and we've overextended our promises to the legal American people. It's good to be against a farm bill, which is nothing more than a special interest kickback bill. And everyone says, oh, Washington's broke. They can't even pass a farm bill. Well, the farm bill's loaded with Christmas tree items for lobbyists and big special interests. So we're against that. We're against a farm bill that contains an expansion of the food stamp program when over 100 million Americans are already on it. We're against Obamacare, and that's good because it's a complete train wreck. So, you know, it is good to be opposed to these features. Now, it's more than just being opposed to this stuff. The Republicans also have to offer something to the American people, and this is where commitment to conservative ideals, first principles, come into play. We need to talk about taxes. That's a win-win for the American people from the Republicans' point of view, from the Republican standpoint, because we want taxes to be lowered, and we want the code to be simple and get government back within its means and within the consent of the government. We take a look at the IRS and all of their arrogance and high-handedness and their talent for waste, fraud, and abuse, the corruption within that organization. It is ripe for tax reform to be talked about in this country. But what are the powers that be within the Republican Party talking about? Amnesty, pathway to citizenship. Because that's what the big money's telling them to talk about. We need to trumpet Ronald Reagan, our standard bearer for so many years, his 1986 tax plan, which closed loopholes, lowered rates across the board, and helped contribute to an unprecedented economic expansion. It's important to offer clear policies in foreign policy, and I'm not going to get bogged down in details there, but Afghanistan, Middle East, war on terror. The Obama administration is all over the place, and the American people just have stopped listening to this guy. But the point here is, be against those things that are on the Obama agenda, which grows, promotes government in all proposals, whether it be education, health care, energy, finance. Every bit of those issues contain government growing and promoting big government from the Obama administration. This president is out there. He creates 1,000-page bills. Nobody reads them. Delegates huge amounts of unlimited power to unelected bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. And then when it doesn't work or they don't like any part, certain parts of those bills, they just scrap them. Yet it's the Republican Party that's being blamed for sabotaging the government. We know the media is not going to be with us, but we need leaders that are going to stand up, oppose the expansion of the entitlement state, which is at the core of the Obama agenda, and then seize upon those issues with principled stands, clarity, and commitment to rally our base on issues like taxes, tax reform, spending, fiscal responsibility. But we have to have a leadership in Washington, D.C. that's committed to those things. Leadership within our party. And when we come back from the break, ladies and gentlemen, I want to get into this. Because there is a war against conservatism within the Republican Party. We know it exists within the liberal big government media complex. We know it exists there. But it also exists within the Republican Party. And this is the fight that we have to wage and win before the midterm elections. You know, it's been a year since the debacle against Mitt Romney. It's been a year. The Republican Party supposedly has done all of these studies and dissection and postmortems. Can anyone point to anything that's changed? We'll be right back. You're listening to the Conservative Underground. I'm Doc White.
What I remember most is the loneliness I felt, the separation from other people. At the end, drinking was no fun for me. Since I've started to attend AA meetings, the greatest gift is that I've become reconnected. I'm part of life again. I really like myself, and that's wonderful. AA is a miracle in my life. Alcoholics Anonymous. It works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
80. 30. 50.
Every mile brings us closer.
25.
Every mile in a city near you.
75.
Help us stop diabetes.
100.
Join the Tour de Cure.
60.
Register to ride.
36.
Or sponsor a rider.
50.
Call 1-888-DIABETES or visit us online at diabetes.org/tour. How many miles will you ride?
25.
If a fire breaks out in your home while you're asleep, how will you know? Smoke and heat build quickly, making every second count. A working smoke alarm can alert you to the danger and make the difference between life and death. Install and maintain a smoke alarm on every level of your home. Replace the battery every year. This message is brought to you by the United States Fire Administration, your local fire department, and this radio station.
You're listening to the Conservative Underground. I'm Doc White. Thank you for listening. Speaker Boehner the other day tweeted that in the deep blue state of Maryland, consumers could see a 25% premium increase under Obamacare. Well, I don't doubt that. People are seeing it all over the country. But don't tweet about it, Mr. Speaker. Defund it. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Conservative Underground.
Hey, Sam. Hey, back from the Denise Decathlon, huh? Got another gold medal in the broad jump?
Yeah, you got a big mouth, Clayton.
Hey, happens to be right, you know. Yeah, it's a genetic quirk in the Clavin family that we all have two extra teeth. You see, that's the only way that we can prove that we are the rightful heirs to the Russian throne.
Hello in there, Cliff. Tell me, what color is the sky in your world?
If your toddler falls in the pool, you think you'll hear this. But what you'll really hear is this. It happens quickly and silently. About 260 children younger than 5 drown in pools each year. That's about 1 nursery school class each month. Put a fence around your pool. Place an alarm on doors leading to the pool area. For more pool safety tips, visit the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission website at cpsc.gov.
The mall sure is busy today. Okay, what's on my list? Birthday present for Beth, stop at the electronics store, and then grab a quick bite. Did that guy leave his shopping bag? Looks like there's a package inside, covered in duct tape. Did he leave it on purpose? That can't be right.
Excuse me, security? I just noticed that there's a shopping...
We all play a role in keeping our communities safe. If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities. If you see something, say something is used with permission by the New York MTA.
Hi, I'm Charlie. I fight fires and I save lives.
My name's Renee. I'm a cardiologist. I save lives.
My name's Anthony. I'm an EMT. I save lives.
You don't have to be a professional to save a life. Firefighters, doctors, and others save lives. You can too. Don't wait. To learn more about the warning signs and how you can help prevent suicide, visit save.org. In a crisis, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK.
I would remind you that extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. And let me remind you also that moderation in the pursuit of justice is no virtue.
Welcome back to the Conservative Underground. Texts from last night. Texts from last night at TFLN on Twitter. This is good from the 775 area code. And how many times has this happened? It's happened to me, and I'm not even a chick. Nothing worse than being at the gym on the elliptical next to a guy looking at porn on his cell phone. I've been to the gym. And I have seen that myself. And, you know, going to the gym in general anymore is absolutely disgusting. Nobody cleans the equipment anymore. I can remember a decade ago being at the gym, and people would look down upon those who didn't take the time to wipe the equipment down when you're done using it. Nowadays, if on the weights, on the pump iron machines, the treadmills, 1 out of 10 take the time to clean those machines down. And when you're at the gym and you're looking at the staff in their little offices doing whatever it is these workout commandos do, sitting there texting, looking around, talking to each other, I don't know what they're doing. No one's cleaning the equipment. For my money, locker rooms at a public gym are the most disgusting place. I would rather eat lunch off a cafeteria floor at a middle school than wash my hands in the locker room of a gym. All right. Anyhow, I thought that was a good one. Tweets from last night. Nothing worse than... And everyone at the gym is always eyeballing other people. Everyone's checking out the hot chick. Look at the guys the next time that are working out. They double it up when the hot chick runs around the track. Everyone's eyeballing everyone. And some of the stuff that goes on at these gyms is quite interesting. Well, so the other day, Speaker Boehner got into a verbal spat with Representative King on immigration. And this is one of the big elephants in the room right now. First part of the broadcast, we talked about how the Republican Party gets takes the heat for sabotaging government when it's the Obama administration that is sabotaging government through ignoring laws, illegal appointments, doing through executive order, which can't be done through Congress, through immigration. You know, not to mention the results of the policies are pretty draconian on the American economy. The middle class, for whatever that's worth, is shrinking. More people, you know, the Obama economy is basically homeowners are turned into renters.
Full-time work is now being substituted for multiple part-time jobs with no benefits or poor benefits. And you're expected to live in mom and dad's basement until you're 26 years old. And we'll give you health care to subsidize. And these young people from college are now strapped with more student debt with no work. That's the Obama economy. And all of that's being done in an attempt by the left to spread wealth. So we have, you know, the sabotaging of government that the Republicans are taking heat for. And part of the reason that the Republicans are taking heat is because the leaders of the Republican Party in Washington can't get their act together on where they should be on the issues. And as I contend, you need to be against the expansion of the entitlement state that this administration is all about. So we have Representative Steve King of Iowa that comes out, and basically, you know, you can't speak, you can talk and skate around the truth in American politics. But if you say the truth and mean it, you get skewered. You get skewered by the media, if you're a conservative, and the rhino leaders in your party turn their back. The Democrats can have a guy in New York City who, under an assumed name as a congressman, and just as recently as last year, was sexting the married man, Anthony Weiner, sexting people. He can be a candidate for mayor of New York, and nobody in the Democratic Party, the Democrat Party, says boo about it. Oh, you know, whatever. It's New York. The former governor, who was involved in a prostitution sex ring, can run for city comptroller in the same election cycle, and nobody says anything, boo hoo or anything else. They have a mayor in San Diego that has sexually harassed city employees that he supervises, and pin drops from the media. The Democrats stick together. Republicans have specialized in decapitating their own and stepping on them when they may have misspoke or some things get tough. Or, in this particular case with Representative King, he spoke the truth. Now, recently, he was out there, and this is a quote. There's this notion out there that, and I'll get to the direct quote in a second, but to set this up, there's this notion out there that all of these illegal immigrants, these illegal aliens that are in this country, be it by their own choice or their children of, you know, their parents have brought them over here, that they're all just hardworking, ethical, smart people who are contributing in the American culture. Well, respecting the role that immigrants have played in the founding of this country and its success, notwithstanding that, that's not entirely the case. And, you know, what's going on around the border right now is it's a war zone. The Mexican narco terrorists, some of which we've armed through the Fast and Furious program, are laying claim to territory all along the border, and because of the porous nature of the border, they're able to sneak in the drugs to this country, and they're actually gaining turf inside of the United States right now. Our sovereignty, literally, is being assaulted by these narco-terrorists along the border. And a lot of the people that are here illegally are not the 80-year-old grandma who's been here for 40 years and goes to church every Sunday. There are some mean, bad dudes and dudettes. And that's where Representative King steps in. Now, if we're going to have a national conversation on immigration reform, it's my opinion that we talk about all the types of people that are here. Enter Representative King. Quote, "For everyone who's a valedictorian, there's another 100 out there that weigh 130 pounds and they've got calves the size of cantaloupes because they're hauling 75 pounds of marijuana across the desert." Now, we all recognize that. If you live along the border and you're listening to this broadcast, you know the crime that is an all too real and unfortunate reality. We've done shows before where we've talked about and documented cases of rape by illegal aliens, drunken driving, assault on cops, murders, all the rest. That's on American citizens, not to mention what they're doing in their own communities. But Speaker Boehner, what does he do? Does he come out and congratulate Representative King for looking at the big picture here and being honest with what's going on our borders? No. He distances himself because John Boehner has the spine of a chocolate eclair. And John Boehner and John McCain and Mitch McConnell and the establishment elite, the political elite inside the Republican Party, are all in lockstep because the big money donors, the big business folks within both parties are in the big labor are talking about, we need this immigration reform for various personal interests. Never mind the rule of law. Never mind the national security of the United States. Never mind what's right. We want this done. And John Boehner comes out and he responds to Representative King by saying, I want to be clear, there is no place in this debate for hateful or ignorant comments from elected officials. What he said, Representative King, does not reflect the values of the American people or the Republican Party. Well, what's hateful in what Representative King said? Now, you could sit here and say maybe it's not one out of 100, or maybe the guy doesn't weigh 130 pounds, but you can't not say that this isn't going on. And it's John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, and others who are being ignorant themselves to what's going on along the border. You see, the jig is up on immigration reform if it ever gets reported in popular culture. You know, the low information voters, the people that are out there watching Honey Boo Boo on TLC or Princess Island on that reality show of 30-something single Jewish females that are whoring themselves around Long Island, making fools of themselves, or this idiotic Real Housewives of New Jersey show. You know, the people that could tell you the intricacies of the Gorga family or Joe Giudice's recent run-ins with the law, count by count, the indictment, but they couldn't tell you who the Vice President of the United States is. If it ever got across to these folks what's really going on along the border, the jig would be up on this immigration reform. Or, as I like to call it, the amnesty plan, the pathway to making, you know, the pathway to legal thumbing their nose at laws, pathway to citizenship. But it's bigger than this, ladies and gentlemen, and I got to tell you, there is a war within the Republican Party. It is the establishment political elite. It's their assault on conservatism. It's the cool kid club. And conservatism, ladies and gentlemen, takes it from the Democrats, the big media, government complex, and they also, we, take it from the Republican Party. And we cannot, we are, as conservatives, told to go along and get along. We're told to show up and vote for whoever the Republican is, and if we don't, shame on us. But when the shoe's on the other foot, like it was in Indiana when Dick Lugar lost, or in Delaware, for example, when Mike Castle lost in some of these Senate primaries, you don't see the establishment running to defend and prop up and support monetarily the conservative candidate who happened to win. They get ball batted. And in the case of Christine O'Donnell, she gets audited. Or her tax information is, interestingly enough, compromised. Her personal identity is compromised by some government flunky. This is what happens to conservatives when they dare to take on the ruling class in Washington, D.C. No, ladies and gentlemen, there is not a war on the Republican Party from conservatives. There is a GOP war on conservatives. And right now, the Republican Party and their leaders in Washington, D.C., the John McCains of the world, who are now the deal makers in Washington, D.C. with the Obama administration. McCain's out there making deals with an administration whose stated purpose is the destruction of the Republican Party, the marginalization of conservatives, if not the outright destruction of the conservative movement in general to prop up a big central government, and John McCain's dealing with these people. The Republican Party, through these folks' leadership, Speaker Boehner and the rest, are on the wrong side on the three big issues right now: immigration, health care, and taxes. They're on the wrong side. On immigration, the John McCain wing of the Senate Democrat caucus voted for amnesty and actually had a couple conservatives join them. As it relates to health care, we had a lot of people. During the break, I talked about how Speaker Boehner tweeted out this message about, your premiums are going to go up in Maryland 25% under Obamacare. Well, you know, don't tweet it. Don't just pass resolutions saying you're not for it. Actually, defund the damn thing. There's going to be a debate come up in September about raising the debt limit and government spending. You know, we can't pass a budget in Washington, D.C., so we have to have these month-long debates about government spending priorities instead of going through a normal budget process, which is screwed up in and of itself. So if it means shutting the government down to stop Obamacare, there are some folks out there in the conservative wing of the Republican Party that are prepared to do that, and God bless them for it. That's not going to be easy. But the Republican establishment doesn't want anything to do with it, and they're on the wrong side. The American people do not want Obamacare. They are against it. The federal government doesn't even want Obamacare. The union representing the IRS employees, the National Treasury Union, who's in charge of enforcing Obamacare, they don't want their members a part of this. Union after union around the country is writing the Obama administration, we don't want to be in this. And taxes. We're on the wrong side of the tax debate. We've seen it at the beginning of the year with the so-called fiscal cliff deal, where Mitch McConnell orchestrated this deal that raised taxes on just about every American taxpayer around. The Obama administration's goal has been to raise revenue to the federal government by raising tax. And you know what? It's all about redistributing wealth, and the Republicans walk right into it each time. Now, we are afraid, this party, when I mean we as Republicans, because I still classify myself as a Republican. We are afraid to talk about our conservative principles, our first principles. We are afraid to talk about them in relation to what's wrong with this country and what's wrong with this party. We don't want to talk about and utilize our first principles. We want to run away from that, and then we expect the base to always be there because we're courting this the independents, trying to reach out. Well, this, ladies and gentlemen, happened 30 or 40 years ago. The Republican Party was leaderless. We had a national party that was run by folks who couldn't manage themselves out of a paper sack and who could screw up, frankly, a two-car funeral. And it was the same people. The Bush family, the Doles, the Howard Baker wing, these rhino establishment people that promoted within the Nixon administration Keynesian economics, the famous quote from Richard Nixon, "We're all Keynesian now." And that led to multiple government stimuluses. This isn't the first time we've had a stimulus under Obama. This has been done before, and it's not talked about because it didn't work. But the 1970s, stagnation, inflation, misery index, all of that occurred because under Republican presidents and Democrat presidents and Democrat Congresses, the federal government got into the business of trying to spend our way to prosperity and through economic decline instead of, you know, scaling back government. And it took Ronald Reagan in 1980 and through two recessions in his first term to finally beat back 10 to 15 years worth of head-up-ass government policies based upon spending your way through higher deficits and more government stimulation into prosperity. And that led to a lost decade, malaise under the Carter years, economic malaise, And people have forgotten about that. But we, during that time as a Republican Party, began to fight back as conservatives against these cockamamie ideas that government can get us through problems, that government can be there for us and ensure fairness and all this other nonsense. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was a big war. 1976, Ronald Reagan took on the sitting incumbent President Gerald Ford and damn near beat him in the convention. The rank and file members of the Republican Party, the base, were supporting Ronald Reagan and the conservative movement because they believed in these principles, because these principles are fundamentally what America is about: limited government, personal responsibility, constitutionally small government, and a belief in the free market economy to carry us through whatever, at the end of the day, issues we face, unleashing the power of the American worker. And it was a big fight because there are vested interests on the Democrat side of the aisle, obviously, in the big government, and there's vested interests and power and prestige within the establishment of the Republican Party in the same thing. But it got so bad. It got so bad in the 1970s that a failed peanut farmer beat a president of the United States and made more sense. The American people were fed up. They were willing to try anything. And in 2008, there was no rejection of conservatism. In 2012, there was no rejection of conservatism. Just like in 1976, there was no rejection of conservatism at the polls by the American people in elections, because conservatism wasn't on the ballot. It wasn't on the ballot with Gerald Ford. It wasn't on the ballot with John McCain or Bob Dole or certainly Mitt Romney. But when it is on the ballot, it wins. And even when it's perceived to be on the ballot in George W. Bush, it still wins. It took Ronald Reagan two tries at the presidency to crack the establishment ceiling within the Republican Party, and he did so in 1980, but he still faced the same enemies from within the party. The conventional wisdom was that Ronald Reagan couldn't win. The consultants in Washington, D.C., they all said he couldn't win. Rank and file knew better, though. We did. The conservative movement, the base. We were faced with double-digit inflation, an economic situation much like today. Obviously, inflation isn't where it was or where it was in the 1970s, but unemployment is extremely high. Deficits, debt are extremely high. Government's out of control. And Ronald Reagan ran against the Republican and Washington, D.C. establishment and won in landslides both times. So the war right now, the consultant wing of the Republican Party led by Karl Rove and his Crossroads group, who are more concerned about beating Republicans in primaries than they are capable of beating Democrats in the general election, that's what's up against us. All along, the media and the big government complex are all in tow, blaming the Republicans for sabotaging government, and we are out there on the wrong side of the big issues of the day. So it's got to be up to us, ladies and gentlemen. It's got to be up to us as members of the conservative wing of the Republican Party to get involved, grassroots at every level, and take it back. Take it back at your city level, your county level, your state level, and work our way up to clearing out these people who have a self-serving, survivalist mentality for their own power and prestige, who do not stand for anything. You know, I tweeted the other day that the problem, you know, if you listen to Rhino Republicans talk, the problem with our government today is that it's run by Democrats. But if you listen to conservative talk, the problem with our government today is the government itself. That's the difference. We'll take our final break here. You're listening to the Conservative Underground. I'm Doc White. We'll be right back.
I'm a paramedic, and it may sound silly, but a lot of people are afraid to call me when they're experiencing chest pain, or to call 911 if they're with someone experiencing chest pain. You know why? Because they think it would be embarrassing if it were a false alarm. Instead, people risk permanent damage or death because they're afraid they might get a lecture. That's ridiculous. So if you have an uncomfortable pressure, fullness, wheezing, or pain in the center of the chest that lasts more than a few minutes, call me. If you have a pain that spreads to the shoulders, neck, or arms, call me. If you have any discomfort in your chest with lightheadedness, fainting, sweating, nausea, or shortness of breath, call me. If you have any of these symptoms or are with someone who does, dial 911 right away. And if it is a false alarm, I'm not going to give you a lecture. I'll be happy to see you. I would much rather treat someone who isn't having a heart attack than to try to save someone who is. To learn more about heart attack warning signs, call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA-1 or visit us on the web at AmericanHeart.org.
Gosh, Darlene, it sure is amazing how much we have in common.
I know, Larry. We both love three-car pileups. We both were built in Buffalo.
And we both know wearing safety belts helps save thousands of lives.
Yeah, this is fascinating.
Don't mind Vince. He's getting over a bad breakup.
I know. Janet's picking up the pieces, too. They're in here.
I wish they understood it's all worth it to get people to buckle up.
Hey, lacerated lovebirds, I sense a major crush.
You could learn a lot from a dummy. Buckle your safety belt.
Talk about head over heels.
You are listening to the Conservative Underground. I'm Doc Wythe, your humble host, proud to be humble. You can email the broadcast here at conservativeunderground1776@gmail.com. Stop by our website to listen to the show for free while supplies last at conservativeunderground1776.blogspot.com. We'll be right back. Final segment of the show coming up.
But the future rewards those who press on. With patient and firm determination, I'm going to press on for jobs. I'm going to press on for equality. I'm going to press on for the sake of our children.
Still pressing.
I'm going to press on for the sake of all those families who are struggling right now. I don't have time to feel sorry for myself. I don't have time
especially
to complain.
Especially in Martha's Vineyard.
On.
Congressional Black Caucus.
Take off your bedroom slippers. Put on your marching shoes.
Stop bitching.
Shake it off. Stop complaining. Stop grumbling. Stop crying.
You believe
we
this?
We are going to press on. We've got work to do. CBC.
Unreal.
Tune into Ghost Fighter Radio. Ghost Fighter Radio. Ghost Fighter Radio. Ghost Fighter Radio. For the greatest shows on the net. Andrea Shea King, Jimmy Z, Captain's America, Darren Marlar, Getting After Lefty, The Conservative Brigade, and many more. Ghost Fighter Radio. Go to theghostfighters.net, where we are fighting the forces of tyranny. One radio show at a time. Ghost Fighter Radio. Ghost Fighter Radio. Ghost Fighter Radio.
Osteoporosis and low bone mass are estimated to be a major public health threat for almost 44 million U.S. women and men 50 and older. I'm Marjorie McGinn, President and Executive Director of Women in Government. You're never too old or too young to improve the health of your bones, especially postmenopausal women and people with low bone density or osteopenia. Talk to your health care provider and know your bones. Visit womeningovernment.org.
Funding provided by Novartis Pharmaceuticals.
Hey, kids, make your dreams come true. For all the things you want to do, make the most of school. A pilot needs to know his math, a mountain climber too. A singer who can't read can only hum her tune. So search for what's new. And remember, kids,
if you want to be cool, stay in school.
Welcome back to the Conservative Underground. Doc Wythe here. Thank you very much. You can follow me on Twitter, at Doc Wythe, W-Y-T-H-E. I have a presence on Facebook as well. You can friend request me there and also like the show, the Conservative Underground, the show fan page. You know, this economy is a mess. And we have a jobs report that's going to come out. We have for July coming out here today, as a matter of fact. And, you know, they're saying that the economy's grown at 1.7%. But as it turns out, the Commerce Department, which is the holding tank in the federal establishment for the jobs reporting department, they've been, you know, tinkering with the formula that comes up with the GDP growth rate, and they've been adjusting it for, you know, conveniently enough, the last 5 years. You know, folks, there are more people out there. The unemployment rate, 7.6, 7.7, whatever that is, you know that that's bogus. You know that the GDP rate, as much as they're cooking the books on these figures and adjusting things to make it look like the economy's actually growing more than it is, it's all to cover up this mess that Obama has built with this economy. And the media doesn't say anything about it. Obama's out there as if he's, you know, Johnny come lately, new to the scene, hasn't been president for the last 5 years, and says the state of the economy sucks. Well, you know, this guy won election twice to the presidency. He's the president of the United States. When he's not on vacation, what the hell is he doing? This guy really reminds you of, you know, the six-year-old that gets his hand caught in the cookie jar. It wasn't me. You know, it's always somebody else's fault. It's the rich. It's George W. Bush. It's, you know, God, it could be Richard Nixon, Millard Fillmore, perhaps. And he'll say this all with a straight face, that he just found all these problems. Well, he won in 2008 on a promise to fix this, and then won in 2012, I should say as a note aside, blowing up the other guy. His stimulus program, the biggest ever, failed, didn't jumpstart the economy. This is the slowest economic recovery in 75 years. So he pivots again to talk about the economy, and his proposals are the same things that he's been doing for the last 5 years that hasn't done anything positive for the American people. The unemployment rate may be reported to be 7.6% or whatever, but you know it's a lot higher. Millions of people have dropped out of the labor workforce, despite the fact that we have hundreds of millions more people in this country than what we did 70 years ago. It's the lowest labor workforce since the Great Depression, the slowest economic recovery since the Great Depression. Now, all of this is done. You may ask yourself, you know, what really is the priorities within the National Democrat Party and the Obama administration? Well, I'm going to tell you. It's all about Hillary 2016. Once this immigration thing is done, and their goal and the Republicans' leadership and Congress are more than happy to oblige the White House, once this is done in October, if it is, unless we as conservatives say no and stand up like we did in 2007, the Obama administration is effectively over. They're not going to do anything to rock the boat. They are going to slow play this thing out until 2016. He'll just continue to give speeches that even Michael Grunewald, liberal a mouthpiece in the Time magazine, says we shouldn't pay attention to. But everything is a massive movement within the Democrat Party and the media elite to set up Hillary Clinton for 2016. And it's unfortunate, Joe Biden, you miss out. You're the old white guy. You lose. In the Democrat Party, that is no longer a priority. So all of this is designed to get immigration reform, close up, button up, and it's Hillary's show from there forward. That's some pretty good policy. that's some pretty good policy initiatives, isn't it? And meanwhile, the Republican Party is out there trying to capture 20% of the vote and leaving their base behind. And the Democrats, well, they love it, and I would love it too if I was on their side.
The party's over. They say that all good things must end.
All right, folks, that's all the time that we have for this edition of the Conservative Underground. Thanks for listening to the broadcast. And as always, may the road rise up to meet you. May the wind always be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, May God hold you in the palm of his hands. Good night, everybody. Have a good one. Have a great weekend.